Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Your attention, please. Your attention, please. This is your official civil defense broadcaster.
One of the greatest threats would be radioactive fallout.
Uranium fever.
Where fallout is heaviest, it can even kill those who have not taken proper shelter.
Broadcasting deep underground in a questionably constructed survivalist bunker is Dave Chaffins and Kenneth Vigue, and your host, as always, Mr. Robots. This episode of the Fallout Hub is brought to you by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Open enrollment for advanced robotics courses starts now. Totally nothing sketchy going on. Nope, not at all.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Fallout Hub, the show.
What are we again? What are we again?
We are. I'll start over. Welcome, everybody, to the Welcome, everybody, to the Fallout Hub. This is the show where we discuss the Fallout game, Fallout 76. And I am your host, Tom O'Robots, with my co-hosts, Ken. Hello, Ken.
Hello.
And Dave.
Hello. Good to be here. Let me roll that back. Hello. Good to be here.
Now you sound like my mother-in-law.
Am I now in the energy level? Am I correct energy level?
Yes.
Good. Excellent. Yes. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, it's been a few weeks since we've done this thing called the Fallout Hub. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. I'm happy to be here. I thought I already said this. It's good to be here. Yes. I can do the whole bit again. I can roll it back.
I see the 2-star reviews rolling in right now. These guys don't know what they're doing. They don't even know how to introduce the show. 2-star review. But those are jokes, friends. These are the jokes of the show. Already starting at the beginning. And this is where the show is going. Welcome to the show. I should start over. Welcome to the Fallout Hub.
God damn it, Tom.
Eventually it's going to be, we're on the third welcome now, and eventually we're going to get to the fourth one, and apparently you skipped to 76 after that. That's just what
76.
I've heard.
Oh, I missed the 76, so I got to do this again. So anyway, hey guys, welcome back to the show. Welcome viewers, welcome listeners, welcome readers. If you're reading the show, welcome.
That's amazing.
Hey guys. What's new? It's been a little while. How you doing?
You know,
doing well. Just living my Fallout life. Mm-hmm.
So listen
to Fallout Boy, and you know, doing all the things about not trying to fall down the stairs
or fall out of your chair.
We could do lots of jokes along this path as well. But how about, you know, it's been a few weeks. There hasn't been a whole lot going on in Fallout 76 for a little while now. And, you know, the community's been kind of like, there's nothing to do in the game. But today, there is more stuff to do in the game. And that's why we've gathered together, friends, in this circle of trust and love and community to talk about what we've got going on in the game today. So why don't we just dig right in? I'm going to pass around some shovels. We can just start, you know, digging into the goodies in the bowl of dirt. So let's go. What do we got?
So there's been some changes. There's been some big things changing up within the game itself. This is the return of a Halloween event. Last year, correct me if I'm wrong, there was no Halloween event.
You know, because of COVID, it was just safer for us not to be out trick-or-treating in Appalachia, you know?
So wait a minute. This game takes place in the future. This game takes place in the future. You're telling me that COVID doesn't go away for a very long time.
Yeah, it kind of mutates.
Is that how we get the Scorch Plague? I do a lore show and I didn't even know this.
Yeah, you know, I was going to talk to you about this privately because I was a little disappointed you hadn't connected the dots yet, Tom.
Son of a gun.
In the future, COVID is all going to be about jadeite crystal, puncturing through skin that looks like hamburger. That's what we're headed towards.
So like this is like the 24 millionth mutation of COVID-19
turns
into the Scorch Plague.
Like this is the Zeta Sigma 5 !! variant. We're getting into some deep lore here.
Yeah.
Catch the follow-up forecast on.
We're going to need some bigger shovels.
Yeah. Halloween has once again come to Appalachia. I do have to say, though, that everybody, and we even we did an Easter egg in our recent episode to this, everybody really misses Mischief Night. I miss Mischief Night.
I do, too. And I always like big, like Meat Week or like Fastnacht, where there's like stuff, particularly on a server where it's like everybody comes to one location and it's like you get to see everybody. Like it's like you go to the potluck at your church that you haven't been to since, you know, last Easter. It's probably, you know, what, end of November, around Thanksgiving. You know, Dolores is bringing the sweet potato pie. You're coming in there. You're like, well, I'm last minute, so I'm going to bring plastic forks. And then you get to see everybody again. Like that's the kind of vibe that I get when I go to these big seasonal events. But Mischief Night was great because it was just like everything is blowing up and we're all going to, it was like literally let's all do a Michael Bay remake, like just like remake Fallout 76, like Michael Bay and blow everything up. I love that event. I thought it was great. I never had an issue with it either.
Yeah. I'm not sure what, I mean, it ran, I had some issues in public servers, but most of us did it in private servers. So it was fine. Yeah. I miss that event.
I always bring the Publix cookies to the church thing.
get them from Publix. Get your.
They make really good baked goods.
You know, since we're talking about food, it that event and missing events that are no longer available in the game, it's kind of like that last sad brownie at the end of the potluck. It's just kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Nobody wants to grab it. Everybody wants it, but nobody wants to be the person who
there
takes
and and you know what it is?
The last brownie.
Because it's been sitting out there for a little bit and it was already made before it. It's got that sad hockey puck consistency to it. And you're like, wow, you know what? I remember when that brownie was nice and soft and chewy. And now I can't ever eat it again unless I break a crown and, you know, have to go to the dentist.
You and I went very different directions with that brownie.
But I feel like there's some events that they add to the game and some systems in general or modes or whatever that it's like they're kind of, I feel like they were kind of like shoot a dart in a wall, like Mischief Night or like survival mode or whatever. And the community has been pretty receptive of it, but has criticism to be like, okay, this is how to improve that. But it feels like oftentimes it's like, okay, well, we're just going to make something different. It's like, you didn't like our pecan pie last year. So this year we're going to try.
Wait, what kind of pie?
Pecan pie. Are you not familiar with pecan pie?
Like canned peas?
I'm sorry. Let me.
Pecan
pie. You know?
Are you French? Are you French now?
Oh, pecan pie. Back it.
Shout out to our 2-star reviewers right now. Love you.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's the new character.
It's, you know what you signed up for.
Are you a Frenchman?
Yeah, it's, well, I'm like, I'm also a little vaudevillian because I'm like trying to twirl my mustache up and go, I will tell you to the train tracks with the pecan pie. Ho, ho, ho. I don't know. I need to work on a laugh for that. You know, this is,
you know what,
I need
Mr.
to, like,
Gower, you and your pecan pie can go straight to hell.
I don't know what that was either. What was that?
You know, it's a wonderful life. I've been practicing that voice today, and I was looking for an opportunity to use it in a conversation.
Okay.
It fell a little flat for me, as I'm sure it did for you.
I keep working on it.
I liked it. I was with it. I thought there was a scene happening, and I was like, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm like, if I'm ready to like yes and it. Yeah.
Who should I be from It's a Wonderful Life?
I think you should be just Mindy from Work and Mindy. Just like,
yeah, she had a guest spot on that, didn't she?
When she was negative 12 years old, like, when, how old would she have been when that was filmed?
You know what? She's outside time and space. You know what I'm saying? She kind of transcends those boundaries.
Mm, okay. Okay.
So back to
when you log into the Fallout page, you have to put in an age. There's an age gate.
Oh yeah.
I realized that the earliest age that you can put in, the earliest date you can put in is January 1st, 1850. So maybe they know something we don't. Or Ken has a theory.
Yes.
Ken.
Todd is one of the elder vampire Illuminati.
There's that. And maybe that's Todd's true age.
You know, the true vampires out there, just, you know, they play Bethesda games, as all good people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're over, 160, 70 years old. So,
yeah, there's either vampires or cannibals in every Bethesda game.
Everyone knows that vampires are into two things, blood and looter shooters. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody knows. All right, let's bring this back around. Let's Fallout. Yeah, all right.
The metaphor that I was trying to make before, you know, I started with my weird pronunciation of strange pecan pies, is that the community accepts these things, like genuinely likes the Mayhem Knight. When it doesn't work, people get angry. And so it's kind of sad to see it gone, because it's like, there's like some real rough diamonds out there, I guess. Like there's some stuff that's like, it just needs like these like three things to happen to it and it'll be like great. But it seems like a lot of the time they're like, okay, well, that's too hard, so we're gonna make something else. So it's a little disappointing, I guess, to see in the context of that event, to see it gone, especially last year.
You know what? I think the problem with that event was the White Spring is one of the more graphics intensive areas of the game. There's a lot to render there. So when you couple that with people and spawns and explosions, it causes some issues that even in the early time of the game when we used to nuke the White String, eventually the server would become very unstable. So I think that was the problem. But if you'd have taken that event and then maybe moved it somewhere else, like the Galleria Mall would be a great one. Just create chaos in the mall, or downtown, like Morgantown, or
90s, like growing up in the 90s. We all hung out in the mall. There was just chaos in the mall.
Yeah, you could have kept the event and maybe just moved it, but maybe it wasn't that simple. I like
that. That would be interesting, though, to have it at the mall and to like, if it was like in an enclosed space that maybe could handle all of that rather than in the open world. It's a good idea. I like it.
I mean, we got the daily ops in there, but, you know, it's kind of a separate thing anyway. It is nice to see a lot of those locations that are really well done, but completely forgotten for the most part, that you are now going back to as part of daily ops.
I do like that, of seeing the vault from the raid, I don't know the numbers. There's the vault that's overgrown. There's the ice vault. There's and I think that was in the new Brotherhood of Steel situation, that vault was, but it's in the daily. I played it in the daily ops before I played it in the quest for Brotherhood of Steel. But it's cool to see those locations used as like a dungeon, essentially. And I think that I've kind of wanted, like, you know, we've wanted a piece of that, like kind of MMO experience where it's a dungeon or raid or whatever. So it's cool to see him in daily ops. Yeah. But the new Halloween event is the Spooky Scorched.
Yeah. I like these guys. I like the Scorched in costumes running around.
So it's much like the holiday Scorched event, where there's various presents that the Scorched drop, and then you have to use gift wrap and do all these crafting things to unlock some of their different stuff. But these are all based around candy, particularly treat bags that they drop down. So I believe that. Let's see here. I'm reading through because I haven't logged in to do it today. Let's see. They have the spooky candy bowl.
I got the download done, but I haven't had a chance to do it because I've been recording other podcasts. So I haven't had time.
I'm still downloading the update. For some reason, an 8 gigabyte update has taken hours.
Dave, I have an exclusive announcement.
An exclusive announcement. All right, let's hear it.
It's the Mothman. Oh, I think that was the
exclusive announcement. Exclusive announcement.
So the Scorched enemies, there are 25 really great locations for you to be able to go after them. Wavy Willards, the Palace of the Winding Path, Tyler County Fairgrounds, Point Pleasant, Morgantown Airport. In fact, Morgantown Airport, if you do one of the first events that you do in the game, which is, I believe it's the drop event. If you do that in a private server, exit, and then you can go back in, that's a good, easy way to grind it. Morgantown Train Yard, Morgantown High School, Bolton Greens, Helvetia, Sutton, Poseidon Energy Plant, Camden Park, Belching Betty, AVR Medical Center, Somerville Dam, Riverside Manor, Overlook Cabin, Top of the World on the second floor, National Radio Research Center, Valley Galleria, South Mountain Lookout, Big Bend Tunnel, Watoga Civic Center, Watoga Municipal Center, and lastly, Glassed Cavern. So basically the major spawn points for Scorched is where you're going to find those holiday Halloween trick-or-treater Scorched.
I feel like I was like right in the middle of a BuzzFeed quiz there for a minute. Top 25 places to get your candy when you're playing the Fallout 76, but that's cool. I like that. So that was all available in the PTS, right, beforehand.
Yeah.
So it's good. I mean, that's good if you're like looking to be like, okay, where can I find these elusive, these sharply dressed men?
The elusive man from Mass Effect.
I mean. Also, speaking of, they're not sharply dressed men. I guess they're they them because they are a collective. The Scorched. That's collective of because they just say us all the time. You know, they're us.
Us. Danny DeVito.
No, that was just if I need like a little like ass. You know, then I can do.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like I've taken out my thing.
Not us, Mr. Gower.
I do think it's funny that somebody pointed out that with these costumes and the promo imagery, they all look like they have human hands.
They do. Well, part of the costume that they're wearing?
They're like, gotta trick them with these human hands.
Or if they're just like wearing the costume is built for the player characters, and the player characters have human hands, and that's part of the costume texture. And they didn't fix it for the Scorched.
See, if this was a Creepshow episode, the monsters are now trying to become human again, and they're doing that one part at a time.
Maybe they're just using a lot of moisturizer on their hands. Maybe the Scorched are trying to figure out how to fix the plague.
You got to moisturize that hamburger skin.
I mean, yeah. That could be.
They got that classic Freddy Krueger pallor.
So my question to you all is, if you could craft a Halloween event for Fallout 76, that's just like an event seasonal situation, You know, we got the Spooky Scorch this year, but let's say you're thinking about next year. What would you do? Well, it's just like, you know, we're the idea factory here. We're just like churning them out. You know, we're all, you know, union labor here. Let's figure it all out.
All right. I got an idea. Do you have an idea, Ken?
I do.
You want to go? You go. You go first.
Lovecraftian horrors.
So what happened? Oh, I like this. What happens?
Well, we have the ritual sites. Mm-hmm. We have the strange human faces tucked away inside Tanagra Town. Look, Cthulhu's waking up, folks, and you got to put down that interloper and then smack around that baby interloper a little bit. And you get some treats and some tricks.
Okay.
So we're talking elder gods, cosmic horror. Not good things. We're talking fissures opening, but not into like scorched land. We're talking fissures into scary places. We're talking Seneca Rocks of Madness. See what I did there?
What? That sounds
We're talking Inns Morgantown.
We're talking Clarksburg Cthulhu.
I like the idea better than the word jumbles.
Well, that's a good thought, because like where the I can cuss on this. Where the fuck do fog crawlers come from and fall? Like,
see, yeah.
What the fuck is up with that?
They come from the swamp.
Do they? Do yes. they?
Yes. Ask me again.
So where do the fog crawlers come from?
Are they actually high priests of a precursor civilization out to destroy humanity?
See, this is, I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at.
And they just happen to live in the swamps.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they're from that too, but that was in a swamp. I've got all the answers.
You do have a lot of answers. It's almost like you do a lore cast or something.
I know everything, you know, except for the things I don't know. That's another answer right there. All right. So you want to hear my idea?
Yes.
In a world where COVID never happened, this idea would go really well. But in a world where COVID did happen, people would shoot this idea down right away. You ready for it?
Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, I guess. Yeah, sure.
Okay, hey, we go.
We had a good run in before we're canceled.
Hey,
go for it.
Hey, listeners. Remember when we said give us a rate and review? Let's forget about that for the next 2 minutes.
All right, here we go. Vampire versus werewolf. Disease spreading event. That's not the title, because it's a terrible title, but here, that's the idea. So here's what you do. Everybody goes around. At some point you contract either vampirism or lycanthropy, but you don't actually turn into, like, you don't change the way you look, but your character, it goes like bronk, like you get like vampirism or like lycanthropy. Like, somebody on a server starts with vampirism or lycanthropy, and so then you can sneak up on another character, and if you like melee attack them, even if PvP isn't on, you don't necessarily do damage, but you spread whatever disease you have to that person.
Oh, okay.
Right?
See, yeah.
And then there's a tick up on the official website of like which side has the most people with that disease. So if you become a vampire, you want to spread it with to as many people as you possibly can on servers. If you become a werewolf, you want to spread it to as many people as you can on the servers. And the levels tick up as the more and more and more you spread. If you are a werewolf, you can turn a vampire into a werewolf. So it's not actually like good lore, right? So you could actually bend people back to your side. You don't have to find people who haven't turned already.
They have something kind of like that in Forza 4, where you're driving around different cars. Yeah, in Forza. So you can do an event where one of them is the infected. And if uh-huh. they tag you, then you become infected. It's kind of right. like a tagging with cars. So we can kind of do that where you're riding around on fog crawlers. You can make vrooming mouth noises like you're a car.
Yeah. But here's the thing is that you try to get more people onto your side. But you could do it in a way where, like, you can't, once you are a part of one side, you can't switch sides. You can't get somebody else onto your side. So the idea would be you want to find as many people who aren't infected yet and get them onto your side. And then the side that gets the most gets some sort of, they win something. They get some sort of unlock.
I like that.
Or maybe that side wins like a special building item that they get to put in their camp for that, you know, for that year's competition. And so now, like, let's say vampires win, they get to put like a vampire coffin in their camp, and they forever can be vampires and go to sleep in their coffin or something like that, right?
I like that. Yeah. And what is it? That's like the Destiny event where they have like the three classes or whatever, and it's like Battle of the Classes, where like the Titans and the Warlocks and the Hunters are all fighting, and whoever wins this year is going to get some right. like a special commemorative. I like that.
It's not actually PvP. Idea. You don't actually have to kill other players. You just have to, while you're playing the game, be aware of any other players you come across, and if they haven't already been given the disease, you have to make sure to try to like get within physical range of them to touch them, to just spread the disease to them. To try to increase the numbers of people who have the disease.
I like it. I'm a fan of it. The original pitch, I was thinking that everybody had like, some people were vampires, some people were werewolves. But in my head, I'm like, so how would that look on Fallout? And I was imagining like, what if like vampires and werewolves were just like, not like the movies, and it was just like the werewolves that get like their fingernails are a little bit longer. And
right, have, right. Just subtle.
Or like the vampires, it's like their canines are a little bit bigger.
Right. It could be
and then they just run around and cough on each other. Like you have a cough button, sneeze. You're just like,
it's like, they just sneeze and that's how you spread it. You just sneeze on each other.
What if we just turn it like the 1980s Michael J. Fox Teen Wolf, where you're just running around in a Letterman jacket and you're still wearing sneakers, but like your big hairy feet are like busting out of the sneakers?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
You look the same. You just have really big sideburns.
If I could do one, I think I would do. They used to have the mailboxes. They didn't used to have them. They were kind of teased that they were putting mailboxes into the game for people's houses, and so nobody really knew what that was all about. So I would implement an actual trick or treat where you go to people's camp, and if you like it, you leave a treat or a trick. And so you go to their mailbox, you put it in. But here's the thing. When they go to take them out to get their treat, like it could be a special plan or something. It also could be like a mini nuke or like irradiation damage or like something really terrible. Like it's not always going to be something good, like a plan. It's like sometimes it's going to be a treat, but sometimes it'll be a trick.
Mm.
Like you get teleported and have to redo the DMV quest line all over again.
Or it's just a fog crawler that comes out of it and just like balloons out real big all of a sudden. Just like whoop, like out.
Yeah, if you can
pushed into there somehow and just whoop.
Listen, Todd Howard's lived since 1850 and he definitely can fit a fog crawler in a mailbox. I tell you what, there's one thing that boy can do.
Very, very squishy. They're mostly air.
Yes, 100%.
Skyrim, now playable on fog crawler.
Or a mailbox.
Now playable in a mailbox. mailbox anniversary edition.
You know, any more thoughts on the Halloween situation?
Is there anything else? I mean, we've got the trick or treat thing also, right?
You know, something that's deep in West Virginia lore that they don't really talk about are ghosts. Would be interesting. Like the White Springs would have a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would be really cool is like a try and find all the hidden stuff on the map kind of event where you actually do have ghosts that are hidden in locations and they don't tell us where they are. They're just like, there are 13 spirits in Appalachia that need to be, they're kind of Scooby-Doo-ish, right? Like 13 spirits hidden in Appalachia, these restless spirits that need to be, you know, sent to the beyond. And it's just real simple quests, like the ghost of so-and-so who, you know, haunts the asylum. And we don't know that it's there. You just have to be running around, and then somebody's going to eventually going to find it. And then it's something simple as like, you know, like, oh, I never got to, you know, I lost my violin and I never got it before. And then you have to go find the violin and bring it back to them. And then you, like, the spirit goes away. Right. And if you do all 13 of them, then it's just a series of quests, but it's spooky. And there's always, there's some little story for each one about like why he lost his violin. And it's obviously because the butler did it.
So it's okay. I'm with it. If we wanted to make that even more realistic, recently, this is a Charleston local news update. there has been ghost tours that have been happening within the town.
Yeah.
Ghost tour. But sweet.
It's pretty cool. If you're in town, you should do it. It's booked up for the rest of the year. So if you're coming the rest of the year, it's like awful. Anyways. But the thing about Charleston is everything burned down in like the 1800s at some point, and every single ghost like died in the fire of
wait, the ghost every died too.
Well, the people died, and then the ghosts were there, and then they got burned
also.
Yeah, weakness to fire. If you read their D&D sheet, I mean, they've got a fire weakness, and it's just impossible.
Silver
to,
and fire, yeah,
right. Yeah, specialty Appalachian ghosts. But it could be like that. Also, in Appalachia, we don't call them ghosts. I mean, we call them haints.
Haints?
Haint. H-A-I-N-T. Haints. If you Google haint tales, they're going to be all Appalachian ghost stories.
Haint what you do. It's the way that you do it.
I ain't doing it.
That's all we have this week on the Fallout Hub. Tune in next
time. But that would be cool. I'd like ghosts. I want more ghosts in my Fallout games because they, you know, they do show up in Fallout games, but they're very sparing.
I think there's only like one official ghost. One official ghost, and that was the one in the Nuka world in the like fancy house.
Where I think there's like two or three.
I mean, you know better than I do, but.
I think there might be two or three, but it's hard to remember them all. I don't know. I'm just going to my gut. I'm just trying to remember specifics. I can't off the top of my head. But yeah, more ghosts would be cool. I think ghosts would be cool. I think that's a good idea. And it maybe it's not even a like storyline thing. The problem with a storyline thing and then being in specific locations is the internet finds them, they post them on a website, everybody knows where to go, you just go find them, you do them, you're done. There's no excitement in the just go find them yourself thing because everyone just goes to a website and cheats, right?
Right.
So you, in order to fix that, you make it like a random occurrence thing. You make it so that they can appear, you know, relatively anywhere, and it's instead of, you know, a scorch showing up in a location, there's a small percentage chance a ghost appears, and the ghost becomes a like roaming mob potentially. And it is non-threatening. It doesn't attack. It just appears. And if you interact with it, then maybe something happens.
You know what I think would also elevate these seasonal events more is to introduce unique enemies and NPCs to them that only ever appear as part of these events. Because when you think about what this is, it's essentially the holiday scorch kind of redressed with a different spin on it. But imagine having like mutated pumpkin people, like you're fighting pumpkin.
Something totally different.
Yeah, something completely wacky with a cool story behind it. Like FEV leaked out from the nearby vault into the pumpkin house patch. And then all of a sudden there were these giant mutated pumpkin people just kind of roaming around.
Or what if they took it like a completely different direction, and all of a sudden the evenings had like a more of an orange or greenish hue to the lighting?
Yeah, you know? Which they've kind of done with that new Mothman event, where they can change how the world looks and the sky around that. So that would be like what if really the cool
or like characters had kind of just a different glow to them, just universally. You know, there was just kind of a like. You know, like you're saying, like something leaks out, and instead of it being maybe like pumpkin headed things, it's just like everything in the mire now has kind of this like odd purple glow or, you know, din to like the, you know, I don't know, silhouette.
Yeah.
The characters, you know, just something that just makes it feel different and makes you want to just walk around and interact with each one to just see what it looks like.
I mean, I wish there were more Halloween headwear for these things, because I feel like that you could pretty easily do a recreation of Halloween 3 Season of the Witch and just have a bunch of eight more days till Halloween. Have a bunch of scorch with the heads on. They're all like, and like every like ghoul has the head on. And it's like, I feel like there's a crossover. What I guess that's what I'm pitching. It's a crossover. We've got
the standing stones. So, you know, somebody's taking little pieces of the standing stones and doing some not so great stuff over at Freddy Fears House of Scares. And you better investigate that pretty quickly.
Or like tie-ins to every really bad horror film, like Leprechaun.
Oh,
or like,
no.
The Chucky series, you could have like little masks for everything that's creepy, but like spin-off versions, like Fallout spin-off versions of this kind of stuff, you know?
Instead of Christine, you have Corviga.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Part of it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing that Fallout has not done more collaborations with properties in general. Like, that's an amazing thing. Like, I feel like that should be something that they, like...
They tend not to really do that, I don't think, with any of their games.
No, they stay away from that. I guess the closest thing you could do is, like, you could say is maybe Elder Scrolls Online with, what's the band that they just recently... Do you know about this? The heavy metal band, Trivium? Is that who it was?
Oh, Trivium. Yeah, that's who it is.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about that.
They've, you know, did like a, there's a correlation thing with them recently where they, the, one of the most recent events.
And I'm pretty sure that they put the Master Sword and Link's outfit in the Skyrim for Switch. And it's only in that version.
Yes. But this isn't like a popular movie series thing. Listen, that's like video game, you know, connecting to the console it's coming out with and the properties that, you know, like Nintendo runs, right? Mm-hmm. But this isn't like, you know, Pepsi showing up in Fallout all of a sudden, you know, like, or like, you know, movie series, like going like, you know, that seems a little bit more like, mainline, but we're not getting any of that stuff. Right.
Like, I don't think that they would ever do it with like another, with a brand, but I feel like with a creative, with like creative space, like movies or TV or other video games, like it's more of a possibility. Like Pepsi. No, they're not going to be like, this is the Pepsi power armor. We love Pepsi Man here. The classic
right.
NES game, SNES game or whatever.
Like, right. Right.
Here's the Gillette Razor Man.
The old Wayne's World scene where he's making fun of them trying to get them to do sponsorships. Like, I don't know if you guys remember that.
Any sponsor.
Yeah.
I mean, they could create their own. There are plenty of TV shows and movies in Fallout lore that they could do something fun around. And Lord knows a lot of them are spooky, scary stuff. But to actually take those ideas and make them into something... Even if, you know, they had like at Kate's Grindhouse as an example. Now, there's a spot that's kind of cool and unique in the Wasteland that isn't really used for anything. But to have these movie showings and then some kind of weird event around those movie concepts, that would be kind of interesting.
And I'm thinking back to like they obviously take like properties from the 50s, like the... Clearly, they like G.I. Joe in some format with the armor aces. Clearly, they like the old, like, Silver Age or Golden Age, or I don't forget the ages. The 50s superheroes, like the Justice League and stuff, and they're putting those as the Unstoppables. But I feel like that there's, like, something, like, they have, like, the Doctor Who or whatever kind of basis from that. But... I feel like that there could be something horror based that they could do, because there was like things that were popular, like, you know, back then, like Adam's Family, Munsters, that kind of stuff.
Even classic horror stuff.
Oh yeah.
Even just like, you know, the
creature from the Black Lagoon.
The Black Lagoon creature. Yeah. Dracula, the Wolfman, you know, like those typical tropes. You can come up with different names for those. And I feel like haven't they played with some of that? I feel like they have, but I can't think of it though. It seems so obvious that they would, but
I think the concept really. They kind of do. When you think about the darkness of Fallout as a whole, a lot of those really classic 50s, it's all about scientists going too far.
Right. And conceptually, like, they
Blackburn
have.
Blackburn is a great example of that.
The Mechanist, like, is about as close as they get to right? Or, you know, the Antagonizer, or like some of the super villain type stuff, but that's about as close as they get.
But they haven't really. The Wasp's Woman. Like,
yeah.
Classic horror.
Yeah, I think that makes sense though, because back in the '50s, like the scientific horror, like Frankenstein, like all that stuff was popular because people had a lot of fear of scientists because of, and this is relevant, the nuclear bomb, because they were like, science has created the like single worst thing possible to happen to humanity, and so like the unknowns of what people could create is scary enough.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but they haven't really given like classic movie monster stuff a treatment and given it names.
Yeah,
really haven't done that.
It's like when I'm thinking about like they need to have like Sabrina the young adult wizardess, you know, because that's from the 50s. some like off brand of that.
The creature, you know, from the Black Lagoon becomes just like the murky monster thing. or some classic horror monsters, you know, like
Funkin', you know, like
you know, Freddy becomes like Jimmy.
This Halloween, go to the theaters, but don't, because Jimmy is there.
Jimmy, he never sleeps. It's like, what?
Oh, that's good. What was the guy that played opposite of Michael Myers in Wayne's World? What was that guy? What was his name? What's the actor's name?
Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
They should just make instead of Halloween, but Dana Carvey. They just instead of calling him Michael Myers,
Mike Myers, he's Dana Carvey. He's Dana Carvey. And instead of a hockey mask, he wears like an umpire's outfit.
Yes. Yeah. I think this is perfect. Yeah.
He's like the umpire. Dana Carvey, the umpire.
You're out.
You're out.
There's no safe place this Halloween.
It's no safe. You'll never be safe this Halloween.
Oh, goodness.
Man.
You know, well, the one thing missing too, there's some opportunity to do some spooky stuff at the carnival grounds at Camden Park. Camden Park, when it's dark, is a little spooky and run down. And it's sad that the dark ride in Camden Park is missing from that. But to have a dark ride where you just kind of go into this haunted house, that would have been I don't know why they didn't put that in the game, but that would have been cool.
I haven't told you my story about, I mean, it's not a long story, but the thing about Camden Park at Halloween. So Camden Park, IRL, is like down the street from the Pumpkin House. And I much prefer to go to the Pumpkin House every year because that's way, to me, way more interesting than Camden Park, because Camden Park is kind of like, ha ha ha, very funny. So it's on the same street. Like, you got to go past Camden Park to go by it. But they were doing horror nights when I was there. And they turn all the lights out in the park except for some of the lights on the ride. Bunch of people come. And so there's the one ride, you know, that it spins in a circle. There's like a circular place that spins, but it's connected to a pole. And the pole swings it back and forth while it spins in a circle.
Right.
And that has red... You puke. Right. Yes, it makes you puke. Yeah. Like kind of like, you know, the pirate ship, except it's kind of a spinny thing. So it's swinging back and forth. And I didn't know about this horror night situation and all the people that were going there. And so I'm like, oh, I guess Cannon Park's open. That's kind of late in the season for it to be like operating, because normally it's only open for summer months. And then I see this thing swinging and I'm like, it looks kind of dirty. What's below that? And it was just the red light off of this thing in complete darkness. And you see all these faces light up with a red light just as it swings back and forth. And it looks like a zombie horde. Like, it looks like a horde of zombies is below it. And there's just this red light. And they're all looking up at it like, when's it my turn? Is it going to be my turn? And it is quite possibly the creepiest thing ever. So if I could pitch, I would do like mass, like scorched horde for one of the rides, and then we turn off all of the lights in Fallout, and then just like have the one, like a single red light floating around a room, kind of like in Casino Royale, where they use the rope to knock them up.
Yeah, so this would be cool, is some sort of situational thing where the zombies, where the scorched or the, you know, the ghouls are all trying to get you, but they can't quite reach you, and you're like suspended from something, and you have to get across an area, and they're all just like following you and in the dark, and you can't quite see them except for like a glancing light here or there. You know, like those kinds of situational. Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't know where you would do that, but you might have to create a dungeon or something for something like that.
That
could be really cool. Yeah. Like some sort of almost like a horror, like haunted house kind of experience that's like crafted by the designers rather than just somebody making some build in themselves. That's more of just an experience you get through and less of a, like, let's fight our way through the dungeon.
But talking about Ken, what you were talking about locations where there could be stuff, like where there could be things. So the location below Lewisburg, that's like a kids park. It's like there's like a little lake where there's some crabs or whatever.
That place.
And that's supposed to, that is haunted in IRL. And there's like kids swinging on stuff. But that's in the game. It's one of the few locations that is true to scale because it's so small. But there's a lot of ghost stories around that, and they do ghost tours there and everything. Like there's plenty of places and things to do. Like if they wanted to expand that element, like if they wanted to, like, you know, turn the spooky meter up to whoa ho ho. Like there's a lot of places they could do that.
Whoa ho.
Roadmap. True.
Let's run through the roadmap real quick here. So unfortunately, they have kind of put stuff down, kind of moved it over to the next year. There's been some reaction in the past weeks of that. Mostly people are over that now. So this Spooky Scorch event runs until November 2nd. There's Bomb Drop Day, which is they have a big sale on Fallout 76, some other Fallout games, DLCs. I think there's a free play weekend going on right now. So if you have a friend that's like, I'm not going to try that Fallout game unless it's free.
We all have a friend like that. There's also loot that you can claim. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can claim some loot. And then also Xbox Game Pass, you can claim some loot.
Get your loot and your boot and your scoot and go
loot,
boogie.
Loot from where?
Boot, scoot, and
Twitch
looky.
Loot? Looky. Twitch loot?
Boot, scoot, and looky? Loot, loot, scoot, and...
Loot, scoot, and loogies?
Yes.
There's various weekends essentially happening. There's a few you can look at the full calendar. Script, Surplus, Double Score. There's a double XP and Mutations weekend. The big thing is in December, they have Tales from the Stars, Season 7, 4-star legendaries, and the new seasonal events and lots of improvements. And I'm pretty sure that's where our good friend Mothman is coming back to play with the Mothman seasonal event. Has anybody got a chance to be on the PTS to try that out or seen stuff from it?
No, but Ken has. Yeah.
This is the best new event they've added in a while. I'm going on the record of saying that.
Wow. Okay. Tell us why.
It's just a lot of fun. For one thing.
What? Fun?
Fun?
It's challenging in a fun way. It has some.
They put fun in my Fallout game?
It has some really interesting lore. And the more you grind the event, you can get these kind of Mothman tomes that get more into the Mothman cultists. And I like that they were able to add an event that also has some interesting lore in a way. So if you're really into, a lot of us have been looking for more story on the cultists and more story about the Mothman and what that's all about. And you're going to get that. Plus, you get to do some loot and shooting.
I like both of those things.
But yeah, it's also very trippy, like... The lighting changes and the world goes crazy, and yeah, it's a really, really cool event.
I like that. I the more they can do anything that they do with Mothman, Like, and I feel like a lot, I'm not like, you know, I'm number one Mothman fan here. Anything that they do with that, I feel like the community is going to be like, yes, more.
Like it has a freshness of imagination in a way that we haven't had since maybe the first year of the game, when we were getting events that were very unique and memorable, like Fastnacht, Meat Week. It has that same kind of flavor. So I would love to see us continue to get more of that kind of thing. Yeah, it's a cool event.
I dig it.
Nice.
You're going to like it.
Well, I think that is all we have for this week. We've kind of been put off a little bit of an episode just because there hasn't been that much to talk about, but now there was. And so we're happy to talk about it. And let us know what you think. Let us know, you know, what your plan with all that. You can join the Robots Radio Discord, talk to us on Twitter, do all that stuff. Let us know what you've been into, what you've been interested in. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes. Yes. And, yes. Guys, do you have anything going on that you want to share before we head out? Anything cool happening?
Ken, I know you've got some big Halloween stuff.
I got a lot going on right now. We dropped part one of what will be a three-parter. We polled the fans and our feature length big stories people like in bite-sized chunks. So from now on, I'm going to break those up into pieces. So part one we dropped already, and that has swiftly become our fastest, most listened to episode we've ever launched.
Nice.
Bethesda's Ferret Bowden joined the cast as the archivist and did an amazing job. The score to that one is from an Emmy nominated composer, so it just sounds really good. We really pulled out all the punches with that episode. And besides that, we've been really gearing up for Fallout for Hope. The stream team is now at 220 something people as of this morning.
Holy moly.
Yeah, which is going to be really cool.
And what's the information for joining that again?
Falloutforhope.com/join. Any streamer, doesn't matter if you've never streamed before, if you have five streamers, if you got 50,000 streamers, however many you stream to, anybody can join. We've got a Discord going in partnership with St. Jude and Tiltify. There are representatives in there who will be helping streamers get going. We've also started kicking off some setup parties. There are four Discord attendants who are helping people who've never done charity setup before to get their channels all programmed and set up and ready to roll for December.
This is going to be massive. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, this is great. I'm really excited about this year. The sponsors that we have this year are really great. There's a really amazing sponsor that I'm going to talk about in a few weeks.
Nice.
Very, very cool. Dave, you got anything going on? I know you've been busy with work and stuff.
I don't have anything going on. I'm just, yeah. You know, been, I just sit in this, I sit in this chair. I never, when we go away, I stay here. maybe that's the real spookiness all along, is that I just like, I slowly dissolve until the next Fallout Hub episode. And then I like reappear.
You like reform. Like a,
right.
Like a
eventually. Yeah, it's like it, you know, in Pirates of the Caribbean 3, where they have the people that are stuck in the wall, so you don't talk to them enough. And it's like, I'm like that. And then I'm going to like come out and be like, hello, welcome to the Fallout Hub. So that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. But you know what we need to do? I was almost disappointed that we didn't get an impression out of Dave, but he pulled it out of his head at the last minute.
He did it. You know what we need to do is we need to, what we need to pull out also is another episode of the Starfield Lorecast.
Oh, we should. We should. We've got a bunch of stuff.
We got a bunch of stuff we need to do. Yeah, we should do that pretty soon. And I know we've been super goofy on the episodes, but as we get more and more actual information, we should probably start to like straighten up the episodes a little bit.
Listen, we had one thing more to talk about today. We had legitimately one thing to talk about, and
the Starfield show has been like all speculation. But
oh yeah, there's like a ton of stuff to talk. We don't have to have Tune on anymore to do MS Paint drawings. Like we can actually like talk about some stuff.
I know. I've been thinking about it because we started that show like a year ago, all on just pure speculation, and it was like super goofy. As it's getting closer and closer, because we're now a year out from them actually launching the game. And I'm thinking to myself, this game's going to have like a ton of actual lore. If we keep doing like goofy ass shows, people are going to be like, this show sucks. They're
going to listen to your first episode and be like, what is this crap?
Because people expect lore shows to be like mostly serious with some jokes. And if we're just like mostly jokes with some serious information, they're going to be like, this show sucks. So we're going to have to whip ourselves into shape. Maybe we need to start slowly evolving into like actual serious episodes.
I'll do 10 push-ups right now.
We'll bulk ourselves up. We'll be like beefy boys by the time.
Yeah,
by the time the
game comes out. Hey, astronauts have to train before they go up there. You know,
it's part of it. That's true. It's true.
Unless you're William
Shatner. I'm a little bit. Yeah, I don't know how you go at 90 years old into space. I don't know how that works. But yeah, we should plan to do another one of those episodes. Maybe I don't know. Should be some times that work for you. We'll figure out.
Okay.
Sometime. And then I've got my shows. You guys know what I do, Fallout Lorecast. And then I've also been streaming in all the mornings, around 8:30 Eastern. I start through like the middle of the day, and we've been having a blast. I've got a new goal. I'm trying to get to 25 concurrent viewer average. That's my new goal. So if you'd like to come hang out with me in the mornings, and once we do that for a week straight, if we can hit that goal for a week straight, I will be giving away the video game of your choice. So with all the cool games coming out this fall, you can pick whatever you want. A lucky winner will get the game of their choice. So come hang out with me, twitch.tv/robotsradio. It's going to be awesome. So that's what I'm doing. Guys, this has been super fun and wacky as usual. And viewers, Twitch chat, you guys are awesome. Thanks for being here, everybody.
I think
we're done.
Raid time. There's raid. Bees everywhere. Get the raid. So many bees. Get the raid.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ariel.
And we're the hosts of the Legend of Zelda Lorecast, a podcast about all things Legend of Zelda, from Errol to Zora.
And all the fun things in between.
If you're ready to dive deep and learn more about the Legend of Zelda lore and everything surrounding it, come join us on Legend of Zelda Lorecast. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Google, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
We hope to see you soon.